Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. This is where I get to, for the next whatever amount of time we're spending here, I get to play a second role because my boss lady is here. No, not Anya Sheridan, but somebody we all have great respect for. And when I want to brag about 43 years on radio, and somebody says, well, what did you do, and who have you said, never mind that. Do you know who is co-host? I always use present tense, even though you've fallen down on the job, Loretta Brennan-Glucksmann, but you at many times along the way have hosted programs here on Irish Radio Network, and we're very proud of that, and with the association.
Well, it's my joy, as you know, Adrian, not only to come to your program, I just love radio to begin with, but I love what you do for our community. You are our glue. Everybody knows the Adrian Flannelly program. Everyone uses it as our own means of uniting. So that has been my my attraction from the beginning. And then in the early days, you and Anya were so good to us. When we started Ireland House, nobody knew what it was, what it was supposed to be. And that's when you asked me to come on, and I was just telling Sharon and Miriam, I loved that weekly show.
Yeah.
I wish I could do it again. It's just the darn calendar
right.
makes us go in 92 different directions. But I'm particularly glad that you invited me here today with the hospice people. It's an organization that is hugely, not just useful. It's necessary. It's crucial for where we are, both in Ireland and here. So I'm glad that Sharon and Miriam can speak to what they hope to accomplish while they're here in New York.
Not too many years ago, maybe if we go back 10, 15 years ago, there was very little awareness here, even in New York City, you know, capital of the world. We thought of Calvary. Calvary had to do with, you know, the archdiocesan accommodation for the dying. And it had a terrible ring to it.
Yes,
It was something like one of the, it was almost a taboo subject. We didn't want to think about, you know, what is reality in life, the rite of passage.
Yep.
You know, it's one of the few rights we're born with. But to think that somebody would actually wind up in a place, you know, knowing that this is, you know, where you are going to, you know, spend your remaining weeks, days, hours, or whatever. There was something about it, that was
terrible.
Almost secretive.
Yeah.
And we were so shocked. We were wondering, well, do the people who go there, do they even know that this
was
one way?
Really,
you know?
Negative mystery about the whole thing.
Negative mystery.
And that's why last night at the event, Sharon and Miriam's colleague, Michael O'Reilly, who is their outgoing chairman of the board, he acted as MC, and he showed a terrific presentation. As you know, you were there. And it was so demystifying, and it was just, this is part of life. Let's get on with it, people.
Yeah.
And again, and Gabriel Byrne said so many wonderful things, and it was, why would we be surprised? We know we're all going to die. Why don't we get our act together and
right.
make some preparations? And that's what I think hospice is doing in very simple things, the colors of the walls, as Gabriel said.
Mm.
It's not rocket science, and it's not terribly expensive. That's the most
yeah.
wonderful thing. When, you know, with the Ireland funds, I'm always approached by people who would very much like if I would please give them $10 million right
Absolutely.
Away. And this, the hospice people are so realistic and so pragmatic. I think your overall budget, Sharon, is $3 million for the whole project, right?
Every year we look to raise about $3 million in fundraising for the Irish Hospice Foundation. We get no funding from the state,
right.
so we do rely
right.
completely on voluntary donations and the goodwill of people who believe in our work. And Adrian, when you talk about demystifying death, we have that belief that no one should face death or bereavement without the care and support they need.
Right.
And that's a very, very simple concept. And lots of people die in lots of different places. And one of the things, that the most neglected areas, I suppose, is the busy acute hospital. And that's where one in two of us, it's the same actually, I looked up the figures before I came over for the States, it's pretty much about the same. One in two of us will end up in a busy hospital.
Yeah.
And our design and dignity project is looking to raise, in the long run, we're looking to raise about $3.5 million for that to improve conditions in Irish hospitals
right.
and throughout Ireland. And why we thought of coming to the States actually was very simple. We were working with a professor in St. James's Hospital, and he said, one of the most difficult things I have to do in my job is I have to take that phone call or make that phone call to the relative or the son or the daughter or the mother or the father or the aunt in New York or Australia or London and try to
right.
explain to them what's happening, that their relative is very, very sick or is dying. And then when they come here, I have nowhere to bring them. I have no private room. It's a busy corridor. They have to, the first
yeah.
time they've met this relative in years is on a busy corridor, a busy emergency department.
Right.
So what we're trying to do, one room at a time, and I think that's what the message we keep to them, we're not trying to save the world or change the world. It's one room
right.
at a time in Irish hospitals where families can gather or where they can say their final last words or they can be with their relative either as they've died or before they died. Good design, comfortable, calm oasis in very, very busy hospitals, and it makes a huge difference.
How many have you now, Sharon?
We have 13 projects around Dublin, and we've been lucky. We've been clever because we've said to the health service in Ireland, will you match it? And they said they would. So for every cent we raise, they'll match it, which
okay.
is fantastic.
As well they should.
Yeah.
I mean,
as well they should.
Yeah.
One of the things that's happening in one project in the Mater Hospital, and anybody who's from North Dublin will remember the Mater Hospital, we
sure.
created a family room there, and the consultant there said, Sharon, that room is used every single day. In fact, because that room is there, all other wards in the hospital now want a room. So now they're generating family rooms all
yeah.
over the Mater Hospital.
Fabulous, yeah.
So the
yeah.
one bit of initial investment is paying huge dividends,
mm-hmm.
and they're all trying to copy that and emulate that. And they're saying it's making a huge difference because instead of having 10 relatives around a bed, now they have a place where they can be and they can
right.
do part of their grieving. They can be in a private
sure.
room, make a cup of tea, have that kind of place. And it's saving time for the staff, but it's also making a better experience for the family.
Now, Sharon Foley, where did you come out of? Where have you been?
I'm Elish Lass, and I have recently moved back to Dublin, but anybody who knows, remembers Leash and knows the Heath is where I've been living for the last couple of years. And my mother is Elish Lass, but she was from over near Carlow, and my father was a Wexford man. So have you got the shape and make of me now?
Nothing less of the Sharon
yeah,
there.
He's a Mayo man, Sharon. So.
But let me ask, how did the foundation start?
The foundation is about 26 years old, and it arose out of the need to develop better care for the dying and supporting our Harold's Cross Hospice in Dublin. And there's some great people. One of the fantastic things about the Irish Hospice Foundation is it manages to draw in amazing people who give up their time, Loretta being one of them. Lots of people. Miriam Donoghue beside me, who's a Kilkenny woman. Woman of the Year beside me. Miriam gave her time to edit this lovely book, The Gathering Reflections in Ireland. We have had amazing contributions from people. So we
yeah.
started out of developing hospice service, and over time what we're trying to do is bring that hospice approach to care to everywhere, into the community, into the home, into the hospital, and of course in the hospices. Make sure hospice is everywhere.
Yeah. Miriam, is it a coincidence that your book is entitled The Gathering, Reflections on Ireland, considering that The Gathering in Ireland, the government initiative, The Gathering Ireland 2013 is the largest,
yeah.
biggest success that the Irish government, that Irish tourism has ever had. Which came here? Chicken or the egg?
Well, what happened, Adrian, was the hospice decided to do a book, and they do a book possibly every 2 or 3 years
yeah.
from a fundraising effort. Because The Gathering was happening, we thought, how would we, you know, piggyback on The Gathering and produce something as well that
yeah.
would reflect Ireland today with some beautiful writing and some beautiful pieces. So the book is made up of stories from gathering events, which are still going on until the end of the year in Ireland.
Right.
About 40 events written by people who are part of those gatherings or by local journalists.
And there's some beautiful accounts in the book of some really special occasions that have happened this year. And we also then have about 30 reflections on Ireland by people with strong Irish connections. I mean, Loretta here wrote a stunning piece. We have work from Seamus Heaney, who wrote a piece for the book before he passed away, sadly, earlier this year. Bono, well-known sports people, Brian O'Driscoll, Katie Taylor, Colin McCann wrote an exquisite short story for the book, and he was at the event last night and read it from his wonderful piece. So the book is rich with some lovely feelings and thoughts and emotions of Ireland.
Right. Loretta, and if there's any listener anywhere in the world who hasn't heard about Loretta Brennan Glucksman, I'll give you a clue. Chairman of the American Ireland Fund, benefactor, founder of Glucksman Ireland House at New York University in New York City, and you have so many hats to wear.
I'm getting rid of them slowly, so I'm on a good
track.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I don't want to be the one to point it out to you, but for every hat that you get rid of slowly, you seem to take on some other great, although, you know, yes, you are thinning out somewhat, but why this organization for
well,
you?
You remember your good friend Lou Glucksman. When Lou was told in 2000 that he had about 6 months to live, and he said, well, we'll do that in Ireland. So we moved full-time to Ireland, to our place in Cork. And he died 6 years later. And I have always given those precious 6 years, I've given credit for that to Ireland, to the fact that he was happy, he was fulfilled. But then at the very end, when it was really, really difficult, the people in hospice in Cork were so just miraculous for us. There's no other word for it. Because we both, Lou and I, wanted very much to keep him at home, and they made that possible. Their staff came out, they set us up, they did everything to make Lou's final days just what he wanted and dreamed about in his home, watching his wonderful water and his boats and being very happy. I would never, ever refuse a request from hospice in any part of the world because I've seen up close and personal what they do and what a difference they make. So when I met Michael last year, because a friend of mine was going to be in need of hospice fairly soon, and we just started talking about what might be developed, and I'm a grubby fundraiser, that's what I do, and I thought so much potential in this. And then I met Sharon and I met the rest of the staff, and they're just so dedicated and such wonderful professionals. I thought this is a natural. So, and the event last night was one of the best I've seen. Don't you agree? It was warm and fun. If you
say
a party about talking about how to die well is fun, it was fun.
Right. Well, I actually, if it's only at the last minute, were it not for on your shirt, and you would have found me on your doorstep when you got home, because initially and originally, you had at your house.
Yeah.
Nobody told me that.
Thank God for Onya. See, we don't tell you anything, Adrian. Onya. That's all we have to
do. Yeah, someday I'm going to have Alzheimer's and I won't know it, because I've been treated that way for the last 10 years.
Oh, we'll take care of you.
Absolutely.
See, you're ahead of the game.
But
what happened there is, and you know as well as anybody what Tom Moran means to our community.
Right.
When I talked to Tom and Ed Kenny about our event, they said, let's have it at our place and we can have more people. So that's gold.
And a good job it worked out that way, because there were a great, great number of people. Many of you didn't know, there were a lot of young people who are there who are equally enthusiastic about and who had the real...
And that's so important. One, I was saying to Sharon, the head of our young leaders, Tara McCabe, was there last night, and she's going to take hospice on as a project for the young leaders. And I just think that resonates with so many levels of meaning, and not only on fundraising, but just that they are identifying the importance of it.
And again, just to explain the young leaders, the American Ireland Fund, indeed, which has been enormously successful, and indeed, since there are certain things that we don't want to acknowledge, I won't acknowledge on this program that you're stepping aside as chairman of the American Ireland Fund, nor will I recognize that the mayor that we've had in this town, we won't have him for much longer. We tackle that when the time comes. Having said that, in the American Ireland Fund, I'd like you just to acknowledge and first of all tell us a little bit about the young leaders of the American Ireland Fund.
I think it's the best thing we've done. I've been chairman now for almost 20 years, and we've done many good things, have met wonderful people and great projects, but what is our continuity, what is our future are our young leaders. And we have now chapters all over the world of young leaders, and it's just so wonderfully vital and exciting. So that's something that will be in place. And you won't say his name, but I will. John Fitzpatrick is the new fellow coming in, and I'm very, very excited. John, of course, was there last night with Sharon and Miriam and all their colleagues,
yes.
And he very kindly invited, as is his wont,
yeah.
He said, everybody come over for the afters at Fitzer's. And
yeah.
that's John, and it was a lovely way to wrap up the whole event.
Loretta, I do want to at least to open this conversation with you, because nobody in this town has done more for
the immigrant. Challenge your major premises, Mr. Connolly.
Okay. But for the plight of immigrants and the recognition that we now have, you know, a modest figure of, 50,000 undocumented. We'll stick with that figure. I have a feeling it's more. Are people who will not be able to go home mm-hmm. for funerals, will not be able to spend the crucial time that we are talking about. They won't have it. They haven't had it, and God knows, without making any guess about the miracle that can happen in the next few months.
It will.
But that will take a little bit of time. But to become involved in something that can actually be good for families on both sides mm-hmm. of the Atlantic is brilliant. It's terrific.
That's what this is. Hospice is good for people here and people there, and it's just a human necessity.
Right.
And it really resonates, because one of the attendees last night is my cousin's husband, whose mm-hmm. father passed away a month ago in Cork. And he had been ill, but hadn't been expected to pass as quickly. And he got that phone call. Mick just got that phone call to say, you've got to come home. And his dad died while he was flying back to Shannon. And when he got to the hospital, he was just shocked at the conditions. He was on a corridor. You know, he was told, I'm afraid the news is bad. You've missed the final moment. His mom was there, and his two brothers and three sisters, they were all there together. And he was speaking last night at the event afterwards in Fitzgerald's about how emotional that was. And he was so angry that mm-hmm. those final moments and his final meeting with his dad was so public and was so distressing. And he said it was nearly as distressing as the fact that his dad was gone. And that really is part of the story, because so many people here, you're talking about the undocumented and the documented, who he was one of the lucky
Absolutely.
Ones, he was able to hop on a flight and go home for the funeral. But so many people, how they can help with the Hospice Foundation and the work and the fund that's been launched here in the States is everybody has a connection in Ireland, everybody has a reach, and, you know, this will filter out and benefit every family, ultimately.
I think it will. There is a notion, though, as we look at the current facilities in Ireland, that Dublin has, in fact, a great number relatively speaking, of the hospice rooms, and that actually throughout Ireland there's a lot of room for improvement, okay? They are spotted. They're in Mayo and Sligo and Cork and whatever. But there's a lot of room
there is
there. And how is that going to be handled? And
well, one of the things that I do, and I spend my other half the time, and I'm not coming to meet my good friends in New York City, is I work very closely with government and at government level. And as we're speaking this morning in Dublin, the Oireachtas is having hearings on end of life. So we've worked very hard to get the Oireachtas to sit up and think. We've produced research, we've produced the evidence. There's a number of counties that have no access to an inpatient hospice unit. And what we find in those counties is that for patients with cancer, and cancer has can be particularly painful and difficult at the end, for patients with cancer, because that's what we have the figures for, double the percentage, almost two-thirds of those patients will die in the acute hospital compared to those areas that have really good hospice services and could do exactly as Loretta talked about, facilitate people either to be able to be cared for at home or to die in a hospice. And we would say to government, that's not good enough. So we're constantly making the case and constantly pushing and putting pressure and facilitating and supporting and everything. So our ideal is that every area in the country will have access to the full range of hospice services, because that's what people deserve. We're not talking about building a hospice in every county.
Right.
We're talking about if you need a hospice, if you've particularly complex conditions and you need that particular level of specialist, you should be able to access it.
And now, plus, it's good for the government.
It is good for the government.
Obviously,
It helps them do their work if they have the ability to say to the hospice experts, here, you take that part over. And it's such a hugely important part, and it facilitates the work of the rest of the hospital.
Right.
And we've got the evidence there, and we've captured the evidence that it's much better economical value. If you've got somebody sitting in an acute hospital, some of those beds are costing €1,000 a day, or the equivalent of $1,200. That's costing the state. What we're saying is, well, if you can invest in hospice service, by and large, our experience is that people are brought home where the family are able to care for them. And that's what the patient
wants. Everybody wants.
It's what the family wants.
Right.
It's a win-win situation.
Yes. Now, when we talk about the hospice and hospice services, so in Ireland where people don't have the option to come home, as you're planning over the next few years, do you see separate buildings? Do you see assigning space that already exists within hospitals?
And that's what we're trying to work out with the government at the moment, and we're trying to and with the health services. And if you read the Irish Times, know there's lots of change going on in our health services. But we work very close with them, and they're looking at a range of options. We're saying we don't care where you build it.
Right.
If you renovate an old hospital that needs to be used for something else, we don't mind, as long as the services are there and families have space and the patients have space. And the reality of being of where most of us will end up in an acute hospital is you're 1 foot away from the next bed. You have a flimsy curtain around the bed. That's not what I want for me. It's not what I want for my family. It's not what I want for any of us at the end of life. And we do think people deserve better.
For the budget that you have outlined, is it more practical to think in terms of using existing space within hospitals, and what are the reaction of the hospital boards, the management? Would they be as well pleased to mind your own business?
Generally, what they're saying is that it's often easier to build from new when you want to build a custom building, but it depends really on the fabric. A lot of the hospitals in Ireland are very, very old, and that's our problem, is that you're dealing with very old hospitals that really aren't fit for the current purpose, yet alone what we want in terms of hospice. So I would say every case is individual. I mean, the hospice that Loretta would have been familiar with was Marymount Hospice. That ran from a really, really old, decrepit building for years.
Right.
But it was a wonderful place. And the other thing that hospices do is they employ the hospice home care team. Every county in the country has a hospice home care team. They're the nurses that come in at home and everything. So it's not so much about the building. It's about the approach to care, and it's about people getting that approach to care where somebody understands what it means to be on the journey towards end of life and can support not just the patient, but the family and those around them.
The book is The Gathering, Reflections on Ireland. And this is a fantastic book,
by the way.
It really is.
It is.
And the fact that it is in aid of Irish Hospice, the Irish Hospice Foundation, is all the more reason why one should really do it. There are many books, and there are many books that are ideal for, you know, the coffee table. There are many books that are great for Christmas gifts. This one is great for the cause.
For everything.
And it is absolutely fair play now to to both of you.
Thank you, Adrian. It was a big team working on the book. I edited the book, but it was a huge amount of effort and work and thought went into the book. It's a lovely production. It's a hardback, glossy book that, you know, you would love to have on your coffee
and
table.
It's very well priced.
It's very well priced. It's available, Adrian, for $30. And it can be purchased online at Amazon.com.
At Amazon.
So anybody here in the States who would like to get the book, just go online and at the click of a button, you'll have the book. You can have it delivered.
We had so many people at the event last night buying them for Christmas gifts.
And it's ideal.
It's so good. It really is.
We brought over a stock. We only brought over about 550 books because they cost a lot to ship. They flew out the door last night. And literally people were saying, if you've got books left over, we'll take them. We'll take the rest. So all my stock, unfortunately, are gone. But Amazon.com, or even people will be familiar with Kennys.ie. They order a lot of their Irish books from there.
Absolutely.
And they're all there. They'll ship it to
Kenny's
you.
Bookshop,
You can order it now to have it in time for Christmas presents or also to ship it to family back home and everything. But every cent of this book is going towards the work of the Irish Hospice Foundation. We were very fortunate to get sponsorship beforehand. We had fantastic people like Miriam who gave their time.
Real
pro
professionals
bono.
Who did all that work for pro for about
yeah
love
and
of the
and
cause.
If start off by paying rack price for this, it would be a long time in the coming. It's great.
It's also a book, Adrian, that will endure. It's a book that will endure for many, many years.
Right.
That people can dip into the book, you know, and they can really connect with Ireland by reading maybe one piece at a time or sitting down and maybe going through some. And all of the pieces in the book, apart from the gathering stories, were dedicated pieces written for this particular book. They're all very, very special.
Fantastic.
And there's some wonderful pictures also in the book.
Yes, I love the
graphic. We did a call out nationally. In Ireland through a radio show on RTE and through the Irish Times for people to submit pictures from what's a really special year, the gathering year.
Yeah.
And we had some amazing photographs from amateur photographers as well as from professional photographers. And that's something that a lot of people have been commenting on is the wonderful, you know, pictures. They're very impactful and just a beautiful thing to look and feel and to hold.
Okay.
I think Ireland has been, we've been through a tough time, but we are coming out of it. But the book, for me, it's a real positive reflection of what it means to be Irish.
The
stories
are
really uplifting, and they're warm, and they're generous, and they're funny, and they're of interest to everyone, young and old.
A good place, though, to start, lest we just go directly to Amazon or to Kenny's, is to go to the website and actually take a look. Mm-hmm. At the Irish Hospice Foundation in Ireland, where, you know, how it has existed, where it's at today, and where you want to take it.
Exactly. Everything about the program, and the program in Irish Hospice is called the Design and Dignity Program, and all of that information is up on the web. But you can contact the Irish Hospice Foundation, just Google Irish Hospice Foundation, and certainly anybody who's welcome to contact me directly if they want more information on our work, and I can certainly get back in touch with them.
Loretta Brennan-Glucksmann, the current chairman of the American Ireland Fund, and indeed probably the best known and respect. I don't. This is rhetorical. I'm just telling you the way that it is. Somebody we're delighted. Indeed to know not only as a very close friend but somebody who's been a part of Irish Radio Network USA. Thank you for being here. And boy, when you get behind something, that's
this is a good thing to be behind. Thanks so much for the time, Adrian. We appreciate it.
The Gathering, Reflections on Ireland, Amazon.com, or indeed go to the website, Irish Hospice Foundation. You're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. Sharon Foley, CEO, Miriam Donoghue, journalist, media consultant, and columnist with the Irish Independent, who's also editor of The Gathering, Reflections on Ireland, and Loretta Brennan-Glucksmann. That's all we need to say about Loretta. In fact, you're listening to Irish Radio Network. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you
very much, Adrian.